Hi, I'm Anne McElhinney.
And I'm Philip McAleer, and this is day 9 of the Harvey Weinstein trial, Unfiltered, the daily podcast that brings you reenactments of this day's trial, the most dramatic testimony, the most dramatic clashes. I know that we were supposed to have Judah Engelmeyer, Harvey Weinstein's publicist, on today to talk about the trial so far, but you know, it was such a dramatic day. It was actually the most dramatic day's evidence, I think, so far.
Yeah, there was way too much going on.
And an ending that really leaves it's almost like a movie production. There's a cliffhanger. We decided not to have Judah Engelmeyer on, that this is above all a verbatim podcast, and we need to save the time so that people can hear the evidence. You know, that's a quick summary. Harvey Weinstein has been charged with sexually assaulting and raping two women. There's accusations from four other women as part of a predatory sexual charge, and he could face life in prison. So
It's all very serious.
Today, Jessica Mann gave evidence.
So of the two substantive accusers, yes, criminal accusers, there's two. There is Miriam Haley, who we've already heard from, and now there's Jessica Mann. We heard from Jessica Mann on Friday, where she started, the prosecution was questioning her, and there was a small little bit of the defense doing a cross-examination, but really...
It took off today.
So,
and it was relentless. It wasn't particularly aggressive, but it wore her down. You could see it wearing her down, and it had a very dramatic ending. The most dramatic ending of any day yet.
One of the big parts of the defense's questioning involved Jessica Mann's a large number of messages and emails that she sent to Harvey Weinstein. And the question was, why did you continue to have this loving relationship with this guy after he had allegedly raped you? Let's listen to this right now.
Yeah.
Ms. Mann, you knew that when you sat down to be prepared to testify in this case, that your words were going to be a problem for you on the stand. Isn't that right?
My words aren't a problem. I just want to be able to actually explain what went in the underbelly of everything and why email land is different, and why my behavior on email I did to protect myself, and I haven't had the opportunity to fully explain the dynamics outside of that.
Ms. Mann, you knew that your words and your emails were a problem for your testimony, correct?
I don't consider the truth a problem.
Ms. Mann, we are going to get to that, but you spoke words when you were sitting at a computer, correct?
When I sent emails?
Yes.
Yes.
And you typed those words when you were sitting at a desk, on a laptop, or from your phone, or wherever you were typing them that way.
Did I send the emails? Yes.
And you sent them when you were in Los Angeles, correct?
Well, which ones?
Well, sometimes you were in Los Angeles, right?
Are you talking that I sent to Harvey?
Ms. Mann, we are talking about where you were physically, your physical person. Sometimes you sent them from Los Angeles, correct?
I guess, yeah.
Sometimes you sent them from Washington if you were visiting your family?
Yeah.
Sometimes you sent them from Germany when you were traveling, correct?
Yes.
Sometimes you sent them from Las Vegas, correct?
Yes.
Sometimes you sent them from New York?
I guess there might have been some from New York.
And every time you sent those emails, Harvey Weinstein was not there typing for you, correct?
Correct.
And every time you sent Harvey Weinstein your new phone number, no one forced you to do that. Isn't that right?
Nobody forced me.
Well, Ms. Mann, if you didn't want Mr. Weinstein to have your phone number, you could just not give it to him. Fair to say?
Sure.
Ms. Mann, at least on 5 occasions, you changed your phone number. From 2013 to 2018, 2017, and all 5 times you sent him your new number, right?
There was a reason, but yes.
And the reasons, Ms. Mann, was that you still wanted the benefit of what he had to offer you. Isn't that right?
That's your version of the reason.
It's really not my version. It is the version of the facts, and the facts are that you still wanted to go to every Oscar party every year.
I didn't go every year.
You went to every one but one, correct?
Not past 2016.
One thing I noticed today was that, you know, Harvey Weinstein may come in a walker and, you know, may look frail and that, but boy, was he paying attention. he was constantly looking at the witness, constantly looking at his lawyer, asking questions, taking notes, passing notes.
Very engaged.
Very engaged. But let's hear Donna Rotunno ask, some tough questions of Jessica Mann.
Ms. Mann, you stated that you want to tell the truth, correct?
I do.
But in your entire relationship with Mr. Weinstein, you lied to him every single time you engaged with him. Isn't that true?
In what way?
Well, you made him believe that you wanted to be there. Isn't that right?
For my safety, yeah.
Well, Ms. Mann, you sent him emails telling him how wonderful he was. Isn't that right?
Yes.
You sent him emails thanking him?
Yes.
You sent him emails asking him for things?
A few times,
and never one time in one email did you ever say, you know what, I am not that into you.
I did try to express myself to him.
In your emails?
I think so.
It got stranger. We should warn listeners that the next excerpt is very explicit, and it describes a sexual encounter Mann says she had with Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein is not being charged over this encounter, you know, which really shows up the complexity of the case where Jessica Mann had a consensual relationship with Weinstein. At the same time, she's also alleging she was raped by him.
So just again to warn people, this is very explicit. Let's listen to this next section.
Ms. Mann, on direct examination, you stated that Mr. Weinstein peed on you once, to use your words, correct?
Yes.
When was that?
I don't know.
Was that before the incident in New York or after?
That, I believe, was before, but I'm not sure. Because I had encounters with him a few times after into, like, all the way into 2016.
Well, you spoke to the grand jury on two occasions, correct?
Yes.
On the first occasion before the grand jury, you never said anything about Mr. Weinstein peeing on you, correct?
Correct.
And you didn't tell any law enforcement in Los Angeles about that, correct?
I'm sure I did talk about it.
Do you remember if that happened in Los Angeles or New York?
It had to have happened in L.A.
It had to have happened in L.A. Why is that?
Because he didn't pee on me in New York.
And when you say it had to have happened in L.A., do you know what hotel you were in? Or a house? Do you know where you were?
Do I know where Harvey and I were?
When he peed on you?
Yeah.
Where?
We were in the shower. He wanted to shower first, which was beneficial to me, so I was okay with that, and he asked me to come in the shower. Then he said, have you ever had a golden shower? And I said, no. Then I felt him peeing on me.
Did you leave then?
No.
Did you say no thanks?
I was in shock by it. It was gross.
Did you freeze?
I turned into the corner of the shower and just looked away.
When was that?
I don't know.
So in multiple ways, the defense is showing the jury that Mann could have walked away, but she didn't. You know, and there's a lot of, Donna Rotunno today saying, you know, you could have walked away. You know, she said that. We heard that a lot of times today.
Jessica Mann's responses are, I don't know if the jury's going to be convinced by them. You know, now she is a compelling witness. And today she became very compelling towards the end, which you'll hear later. And, you know, she's very emotional, but, you know, her answers sometimes become vague about why she didn't walk away. And
bizarre, and sometimes a little bizarre and a little bit contradictory. But let's hear this one where she talks about her father. Let's hear Donna Rotunno again speaking to Jessica Mann. And we have actors here playing the role of Donna Rotunno, who's the who's for the defense, who's the lawyer for the defense.
For Harvey Weinstein.
And Jessica Mann, who is one of the criminal accusers. So let's hear that dialogue.
Jessica, you could have walked away from Harvey Weinstein and never see him again, correct?
Not from my point of view.
Well, Jessica, your point of view, you talked about staying with him because you thought he was going to hurt your father, correct?
He did threaten my father to me.
Well, Jessica, you had gotten in an argument with your dad, correct?
Yes.
And you told Harvey about that, correct?
I was upset.
And you told him about it because you were upset and he was someone you could confide in, correct?
I wasn't confiding, but I showed up after this argument with my dad.
You have other friends besides Mr. Weinstein, correct?
Yes.
And there were other people you could have called about your argument with your dad, correct?
I am sure I did talk to other people.
And you chose to tell Harvey about it?
It's just the timing.
And there were lots of things that you told Harvey about in the course of 5 years. Isn't that right?
Like what?
You told him when your dad was sick, correct?
Yes.
You told him every time you were going to see him and when you were going to be out of town?
Well, Harvey was trying to see me, so I was telling him what...
Why you couldn't?
Well, it was an excuse to not have to see him. And the fact is that my dad was dying.
And you were going to see your dad?
I was literally caregiving my father.
And this is the same person you thought Harvey could hurt, correct?
Correct.
And, you know, there was another email today that was extraordinary. And I think we'd heard about this. We'd actually heard this in the opening where Jessica Mann, you know, again, after the alleged rape had got in touch with Harvey Weinstein.
The alleged rapes, you know.
And the alleged rapes, had got in touch with Harvey Weinstein, wanting him to meet her mother.
And it's not just would you meet my mother. It's a very kind of friendly.
Yeah, actually, you get a really good sense of how, you know...
Playful.
How, you know, it's interesting to hear the actual words of the people, you know, who are in the court today, obviously spoken by the actors. But let's hear just the way these two spoke to each other, the kind of language they used to use when they communicated. Let's listen to that now.
Jessica, on July 26th of 2014, you sent a message to Harvey Weinstein that just said, "Hi." Do you remember that? Do you remember that email, that series of emails?
Yes, I do.
Jessica, you started off that, "Hi." Harvey responded back, "Where were you? How are you?" You said, "I am at work. Just had you cross my mind and thought I would send a hello. I am well." And he responded to you, "Love to cross your mind. It is my favorite exercise." You said, "LOL. That made me laugh so hard." And then you asked him, "When are you back? Never know what you are up to these days," correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And then he tells you when he is going to be in town, correct?
Yes.
And you told him that your mom is in town and that it would be great if he could see your mom?
Yes.
And you said she would love to meet you. Plus, you can see how good my genes are, and you talked about where you would meet him, correct?
Yes.
So it was a very, it was a relentless day, you know, and Jessica Mann got more and more under pressure as the day went on. And, you know, she did not look well, you know. On Friday, she looked, you know, fresher. Today, she looked tired. And Donald Rotunno then, you know, Harvey Weinstein's lawyer, attempted to make the case today that they were in a friendly, consensual relationship and used their friendly emails to back that up and made the point that if anyone was lying in this relationship, it was Jessica Mann by her own admission. And, you know, that her claims that their relationships were abusive, it was a recent fabrication. So one thing I would say is, you know, if you like this podcast, we want to keep going. We really like a rating. Go on Apple Podcasts, give us a rating. There's a couple of trolls there who are bringing us down. You know, go there. Also, this costs money. We have to get the transcripts. We have brilliant actors reenacting this dialogue. So we would love
some help, and you can go to unreportedstorysociety.com and leave a donation, and we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah. So, but first, let's hear Donna Rotunno try and make the case to Jessica Mann that she was actually in a friendly, consensual relationship with Harvey Weinstein and using the emails as proof of that. Let's hear that.
Ms. Mann, you stated on Friday that Mr. Weinstein's approval would have meant so much to you, correct?
Yes.
But Mr. Weinstein was constantly complimenting you, correct?
Sometimes.
Sending you messages, telling you he was proud of you, correct?
He did say stuff like that.
Sending you messages saying you deserve any good thing coming your way, correct?
Yes.
And you were traveling in Berlin and sent messages and he would respond very favorably, correct?
Yes.
And you didn't find one email in the 5 years that showed that Mr. Weinstein was negative or pushy or difficult in any way. Is that true?
Well, I knew him and I knew how to read between the lines, and some of his responses.
So when he would say things to you like, "You deserve it," after you would tell him something great happened to you, that was a compliment, correct?
That was a compliment.
And he would tell you that you were beautiful. That was a compliment, correct?
Sure.
After he would tell you it was the best haircut he ever had, that was a compliment, correct?
Or manipulation.
Ms. Mann, let's talk about manipulation. You manipulated Mr. Weinstein every single time yourself, isn't that correct?
I guess there is an aspect to how you... I felt I needed to protect myself that maybe you could say is manipulating.
And every time you made him think you wanted to have a sexual encounter with him, you manipulated him, correct?
What do you mean?
Every time you engaged in consensual and sexual encounters with Mr. Weinstein, you manipulated him, correct?
Yes.
You made him think you wanted to be there. Isn't that right?
No, that is not correct.
So when you decided to have a relationship with Mr. Weinstein, you said, I wanted to try to have a normal relationship. You lied to him, correct?
Say that again?
When you said that you wanted to try to have a normal relationship with Mr. Weinstein, you were lying to him?
When I made the decision that I felt I had to be in a relationship of how I processed everything, I did think it was going to be a normal relationship, but it wasn't.
And you told him that you wanted a normal relationship with him, correct?
Say that again?
You told him that you wanted a normal relationship with him, correct?
I can't answer that with a yes or no.
And every time you went to see him and you engaged in sexual behavior with him, that was consensual, you made him think you wanted it.
After a long negotiation at times, then yes, I would put on the face and do what I said earlier, which is like role-playing.
When you say, describe role-playing for me.
Yes.
What your definition of it is.
Well, when I didn't think that he could have actual sex, I thought we were creating the fantasy as if he was having actual sex.
And you engaged in that with him, correct?
Yes.
And you were happy to do that, correct?
I wasn't happy to do it.
Well, you did it.
I did it.
And you didn't say to him, I don't want to do this with you.
Oftentimes before we would engage in something sexual, there was a negotiation and me trying to not do something.
What would you say? If you give me a script, I will do this for you? What negotiation are you talking about?
So the more I realized I was feeling like I was just being used, I tried to not have sexual encounters with him. And we would get in this back and forth about it where, you know, I would sometimes try to make excuses or try not to have to be sexual. And there was just this back and forth. And then at a certain point, I would have just kind of given, or he would just want to masturbate while holding me. It would be a negotiation.
And you would engage in that negotiation with him, correct?
Yeah, because I wanted to reduce what he wanted from me.
Jessica, you could have walked away from Harvey Weinstein and never seen him again. Correct?
Not from my point of view.
So a lot of time today as well was spent by Donna Rotunno, digging down into the whole issue of what happened at the DoubleTree Hotel. And the DoubleTree Hotel, just to remember again, is where the alleged rape occurred. And Donna Rotunno was, you know, at pains to point out, and even showed photographs actually on Friday. She showed photographs at the front of the hotel and said, you know, look at those huge doors, you know, why didn't you walk out? Why didn't you just walk out? And instead of that she'd walked upstairs, and actually Donna Rotunno makes the point as well, you know, after what had happened in all the different hotel rooms, various hotel rooms you've been in, wouldn't you have been rather hesitant to have gone back up? And it's not just that she went upstairs and that's where the alleged rape occurred. It's what happened afterwards that also seemed, to be a little bit bizarre, that she had
a breakfast with him.
She had a breakfast with him. She stayed. She actually wanted to change her ticket because she actually had a ticket for leaving back to Los Angeles. And instead of that, she actually wanted to change.
Stayed an extra night.
And it was his birthday the next day. And she met him with his daughter. There's a whole lot of bizarre stuff here.
So then we hear of more emails where Harvey Weinstein recommended to a friend of his, a famous hairdresser, hairstylist, Frederick
Fekai. I might be saying that wrong, but actually, interestingly, I noticed this afternoon in some of the newspapers and some of the tabloids, there were photographs. This didn't come up at all in court, by the way, but some of the tabloids had photographs of Frederick Fekai. He's a famous stylist.
I know in court, Donna Rotunno made a big thing that Harvey, I mean, and the email, you'll hear the email was gushing. The email
was...
Well,
he got a job. She got a job working with Frederick Fekai, right?
Yeah, well, you know, so the email, you could not have written a better recommendation email to someone. And, you know, this, what I suppose what this goes to is, Jessica Mann was saying, it was an abusive relationship. I was under, I felt under threat. I couldn't break away. He was a rapist. And then he writes these gushing emails for her to get work, and she gets work. So,
and just, I was just on that point of the photographs. So some of the, as I said, some of the tabloids have photographs of Frederick Fekkai with Harvey Weinstein, but also with Mr. Epstein, who...
Yes. Well, that's a different trial that didn't go ahead. Now, there would have been a trial we could have done some verbatim testimony on. So then also came out in this little excerpt was she wrote an email saying, oh, will you be in town for my birthday? Donna Rotunno actually pointed out that it was around the time of one of the award shows. And I think she was angling for tickets for that, or that was the implication. And we also heard a clash about whether she was still serious about being an actress and all that. So let's hear that clash. And it's, you can probably hear her getting more and more frustrated here. And it all ends in a big bang at the end.
So when he reached out to Frederick Fekkai, and you know who Frederick Fekkai is?
Yes.
Who's Frederick Fekkai? Tell the ladies and gentlemen of the jury who Frederick Fekkai is.
A celebrity stylist.
And a well-known celebrity stylist, right?
I guess.
He has his own product line, correct?
Yes.
You can go into stores and find it?
Correct.
High-end stores, Walgreens, it's everywhere, right?
Correct.
And Harvey reached out to Frederick Fekkai on your behalf, correct?
I didn't want him to, but he did.
And Ms. Mann, you stated that you didn't want him to, but you responded to multiple emails being grateful to him for his help, correct?
Okay.
Harvey was reaching out to Frederick Fekkai on your behalf, and you were being CC'd on those emails, correct?
Yes. It was Harvey or an assistant, someone from the Weinstein Company.
Harvey reaches out. Dear Fred, I have a friend who is very attractive who is a hairstylist. If you have a LA styling, she would be brilliant. A real knockout and looks like Natalie Portman. She's sweet to boot. Looking to work in LA. All my best, Harvey.
Yes.
Do you remember responding with somebody at Frederick and going back and forth? He asks for your resume. They link you in and you send the information that was needed. Well, you went to Frederick Fekkai and you interview there. And you actually cut hair there, correct? And you even did color, maybe?
I don't know if I did color. I think I had to do a model. I don't remember what the scope of range was for the work of hair.
And you did that, right?
Yes.
So the afternoon continued for Jessica Mann.
And it didn't get any easier.
No. She's claiming that she had been raped and sexually assaulted by Harvey Weinstein. But then was asked, you know, and kept being asked to explain emails that seemed to say the opposite. Let's hear her being questioned about the, we're calling it the boyfriend email, which is different from the casual boyfriend diary entry, which will probably come to tomorrow. The boyfriend email is where she seemed to be telling Harvey that she was concerned, still dating Weinstein, while seeing her new boyfriend.
And it's interesting to look at the salutations that end that that email. But let's hear that exchange.
Yeah, the salutations are uber friendly, and you know, would you describe? You know, let's let the public make up their own mind. Let's hear that exchange reenacted by actors.
And you wanted to go to them.
There is an aspect that it can still help my career, yeah.
So you wanted to go?
I did go.
Let's get to the point where you tell Mr. Weinstein that you are in a relationship. And do you remember exactly when you met Eddie?
No, but it was probably around the same time that I met Harvey.
So you met Eddie in 2012?
Yes. It didn't start dating officially until later, but I don't remember exactly when I met him.
Well, do you remember if you started dating Eddie before or after Christmas?
I don't remember.
Do you remember what the weather was like?
Again, we had chemistry. It was like just a dynamic that was not official until later. I was not his official girlfriend.
Do you remember how it became official or where you were?
No.
So you sent Harvey an email on November 12th, 2013. I'm marking it as People's Defendants RR. Do you recognize that email?
Yes, I do.
What do you recognize that email to be about?
That my heart was hurting.
And that email was sent. That is an accurate description of what was sent on that date?
Yes. Let me finish reading it.
Does that truly and accurately depict the contents of the conversation on that date?
Yes.
I ask the identification marks be stricken and RR moved into evidence. Read that to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
My heart is hurting. I don't feel good about being upstairs while you had to get ready, only because it makes me feel like I'm in a situation that would be hurtful to my partner, and I know I would not want him in the same situation. I don't want to feel this way because it will make me push away. I know you wanted to know how serious I am about this person. Excuse me. And I know I fell in love, and I want to do right by him. I'm learning how to be a woman, and I want to make sure I make choices that make me feel like I have integrity. I know you have watched me grow in this. You mentioned it yesterday. That was encouraging. Next time I get to see you, can we please make time where we can be in a setting I feel I can best respect the relationship? I want to put all of me in. Thank you for your unfailing support and kindness. It has helped me believe in myself. I'm loving these projects you are supporting in film, by the way. It will change our consciousness in the world, support quality, and tell these important stories. Jess.
So the punishment continued.
Yeah.
And Mann was forced to try and explain why she apparently sent a loving email to Weinstein on the day that he apparently raped her.
There was a whole load of problems today with this issue of timelines.
Yes.
And there were a lot of heated exchanges about timelines.
Yes.
and not having clear memory of when things happened.
Yes, and Jessica Mann disputed that timeline, said no, it wasn't the same day. But Donna Rotunno then tried to pin her down when the rape happened, and she couldn't. And Donna Rotunno basically said, you're being deliberately vague because you cannot stand over the timeline because there's all these emails. And if you say it was not that, then there's an email that contradicts that. And if you say it's that date, there's an email that contradicts that. So she's deliberately keeping it vague so she can't be contradicted and proven not to be untrue. So let's hear that exchange.
You cut Mr. Weinstein's hair on January 5th of 2014 or possibly January 4th of 2014. Is that correct, based on this email I showed you?
I did give him one really bad haircut once.
Read that message from Harvey and the message from you.
Dear Jessica, that is the best haircut and trim I've gotten. I've got a million compliments. Thank you. All my best. Harvey, you are the one who makes it look good with your smile and beautiful eyes, but thank you. That makes me so happy to hear. Jess.
Jessica, this is the day you claim Mr. Weinstein raped you in a hotel?
I never put a date to when I was raped.
Because it is easier for you not to put a date because then you have to answer to these things?
That is not true.
Well, Jessica, you said in between the email I showed you from November of 2013 where you tell Harvey you want to have a respectful relationship, you have no contact with him from that email until this one. Are you aware of that?
Okay.
And then you don't have any contact with him for a period of time after, except going to parties. Would that be fair to say?
Probably.
And in February, Mr. Weinstein was asking you if you are still with the boy.
Yes.
Does this truly and accurately depict the conversation you had around February 20th of 2014?
Yes.
I'm asking the identification marks be stricken and TT moved into evidence. Read Harvey's email to you in that conversation for the jury.
Dear Jessica, are you around tomorrow? I'm arriving to Los Angeles this afternoon, here today and tomorrow. Still with the boy? Ha ha, smiley face. You know the answer to that.
Now, Ms. Mann, this is after you claim he assaulted you in the Peninsula Beverly Hills, correct?
Again, I don't know the date.
Well, Ms. Mann, you had the conversation with Harvey about the fact that you wanted to move on and only see your boyfriend sexually, correct?
I wanted him to stop doing things to me, yes.
And he says still with the boy, correct?
Yeah.
He does not tell you that you have to see him, correct?
Correct.
He does not tell you you are going to lose your job at the Peninsula if you do not come and talk to him, correct?
He didn't tell me that.
And no one at the Peninsula did either, correct?
Tell me what?
You were going to lose your job?
Okay, he didn't say a direct threat like that, no.
Jessica, he never made one direct threat to you in the 5 years you knew him.
Yes, he did.
Jessica, you spoke to the detective in Los Angeles, and Detective Alator said to you, has he ever made any direct threat to you? And your answer was, never a direct threat. Is that correct?
Then I am misunderstanding the definition. I took things he said to me as they, I guess, a direct threat, like I'm going to kill you. No.
So there were further loving emails that were very hard to understand in the context of the rape and sexual assault allegations. Let's hear her explain one where she tells him that no one understands me quite like you.
Yeah, so
as she puts it.
Yeah, remember, she's accusing, Jessica Mann is accusing Harvey Weinstein of raping her twice and sexually assaulting her. So this is Donna Rotunno, Weinstein's lawyer, questioning her about this email, these emails, and these are actors reenacting verbatim testimony. This is exactly what was said in court, word for word. So let's hear that question and answer.
It says, "Dear Jessica, are you around on any evening? I am going to be in LA. You say there is no one else I would enjoy catching up with that understands me quite like you. I don't get off work until after 7 and come from Santa Monica. I know I will be hungry. What is your timing? Do you have time for dinner? Correct?
Yes.
And you are telling him that nobody understands you quite like him, correct?
I did say that."
Then what seemed to be building up all day finally happened. A very dramatic moment, very dramatic exchanges. Donna Rotunno, Harvey Weinstein's lawyer, forced her to read from a lengthy email she sent to her boyfriend about their relationship. And in it, she promised absolute honesty. And, she regretted that she'd become a woman who dated older men. And she had to read this lengthy email. And she was becoming more and more upset as she read it. She said, "I've become that person who's dating older men."
And she said that Harvey was really nice to her, right?
Always really nice to her.
You
know, this is the person who apparently had raped her twice and sexually assaulted her. She's in an email saying, "I'm going to be really honest." You know, she's obviously confessing to dating and having an affair with Harvey Weinstein. So, this ties in with the defense argument that the relationship was consensual, but she wept and wept as she was reading the email.
It became so intense, actually, that they had to call a halt. Right?
Yeah, she became distraught, and she got to a part of the email where she said she'd been sexually assaulted by someone, and everyone's ears pricked up because that seemed to be confirmation. Yeah,
then we all thought this is going to be it.
But then when you listen to the email, it seemed like she was saying she was sexually assaulted by someone else, and that's when she really broke down, when Donna Rotunno asked her that question. But I don't want you, but you should hear it yourself. Let's hear that exchange now.
"I have this put up on the screen. I know it's long. I'm going to ask you to read the entire email. Jessica, I am going to have you start reading this, a long section as it's up on the screen, and then I may stop you and ask you for some clarification points. Okay?
Okay.
And the redacted part is to Eddie, correct?
Yes.
And go ahead.
Dear Eddie, I feel that I know in my heart what I am about to share with you will stay. This is going to be a little emotional for me. We'll stay right here where it is."
Jessica, would you rather I read it?
No.
Okay.
"I understand if what I say hurts so bad that you seek counsel. I will trust it is with the right people. However, your response on WhatsApp has really, really hurt because I had hoped to be met with love, and I feel met with hate. So I reevaluated my reason for letting you into this part of me. It is you. It is to love you and not myself. To let you know the truth of all that I am so that you will no longer love only parts of me. I would have loved you to be in a place that would have responded. I am here to listen when you want to share, but I can't control that. I can read it. I have desperately wanted and pushed you to have an honest relationship with me. Yet all along, there have been parts of myself back. What I'm about to say takes place around the time when we first met through the ons and offs. I knew by the things you said what you would accept in me and what you wouldn't. So I lived in fear of rejection. the living in that fear of rejection, I found myself angry. I was angry because the mistakes I had made in my life or wounds that I had, that I felt judged by them when I didn't know how to change them. And I could say without knowing who I was at that time, when I finally broke out of the cycle of relationships that were controlling, I rebelled against living my life according to the standards that someone else had set. Those standards you have are actually very in line with who I am. But when we met, I lost so much of myself to controlling relationships. I found myself competing with many aspects of myself or illusions. The illusion that I had to do opposite of what you felt so that I wouldn't feel like I was just living to win your approval. I've said Eddie can never know X because I would die if he did, because I knew what would happen, and that would mean that you would never talk to me again. There were those around me who said, he never needs to know. In a way, I agreed, because sometimes things just don't matter or are part of the past. But what I do know is that knowing how you would feel about this information during the time I have known you created a dynamic in me that always felt like maybe I never knew the truth of your life. I could not see that you were my mirror. Instead, I hyper-focused on you. My secret and my fear is knowing that a part of the dynamic I had with Harvey would mean you would never talk to me again. I had to work through a lot of delusion in that situation and father issues. I was close enough to him to tell you that he no longer has a working penis on the lower half of his body. He had some type of surgery or burn and is lucky to even have his parts. I never asked what happened. I once tried to tell you when I lived in Silver Lake and you were still at Carrie's at the porch. I told you how sometimes I felt hopeless, that I should just be with an older man because I am a lost cause. Harvey was the one I believed saw past the junk because my own issues in me found ways to bond in that situation, whether they're true or not. I accepted that my father was that older man who dated younger than me, and I would in turn become that kind of woman because of my failed relationships. Harvey validated me. He always offered to help me in ways that my parents didn't. I felt approval to pursue the industry because he was encouraging. He encouraged me to. And it is who he is, isn't it? My parents would never invest in me for that. I literally left my father's house to escape because I could not live the life they wanted me to live. I took the last of my money and bought a one-way ticket and a suitcase and one bag and flew to Burbank Airport. I arrived with nothing, no home, no direction. I just did it because that was my breaking point. God provided. And a day later, I moved in with Danny in North Hollywood out of the blue and got a job at Bobby Ball. Nothing in my life fell into place until I did the unthinkable and bought that plane ticket. I used to walk 5 miles a day to and from work just to live. Harvey was my father's age, and he gave me all the validation I needed, I thought, at that time. He offered to give me things. I refused them all. I never let him buy me things or give me money when he tried. I did let him change my plane ticket so I could stay an extra day in New York with Toledo when I went to the August Osage County screening. I really saw him because of scheduling, and a big part of myself avoided him because I didn't yet control the situation. I think he liked me because, in a way, he couldn't get me, and I didn't take from him. I didn't have an agenda other than my own wounds playing out subconsciously. I have since long ago had very clear boundaries with him. I still had gone to some of the invitations he has sent me, and he has always been very nice to me. I held on because I did feel a sense of friendship with him and felt like the situation was finally defined. I grew to know who I was. I did continue to cut his hair once or twice, and I think I had to fight for that with you because I needed to not feel shame from what I was afraid you would think. I remember the day I realized I was controlling my world because I was sexually assaulted, and that story played out where I played into sexual dynamics with people to feel like I would never be taken advantage again. When that happened, I grieved deeply for myself. It was then I looked at the true father wounds that had played out specifically in me with my father and Harvey. I tried to make him a pseudo-father.
Jessica, I'm going to stop you there and ask you a question. This sexual assault you are talking about is from when you were younger, correct?
So there we have it. A complete breakdown. The judge called for a break. They sent the jury out, you know, and she was very upset. Some reporters said they heard her say, "I'm having a panic attack."
So we're really unsure.
I didn't hear that, but you know, it was hard to pick up everything she was saying. It's one of the problems of the court, actually, is the very bad acoustics. I didn't. Some reporters said they heard her say that. It was decided then that the day would end early, and she would resume her evidence tomorrow.
But we're not sure if she will be turning up because
I mean, she was pretty upset at the end.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. Who knows?
And this is really a bit of a bombshell, this email that, you know, was landed at the very last, you know, kind of, it was like, as you say, it was like the whole day built up to this. And
yes.
Then we had this like really big bombshell where, you know, she writes about this sexual assault, and it's pretty obvious that it's not Harvey Weinstein.
That seems to be my interpretation of it. And it was Donna Rotunno's interpretation. You talk about a bombshell. I mean, but it was a day of small bombs. Every half hour, there was something just banging away at her credibility. But at the end of the day, though, you were left with a crying female in the dock. And that's an image that the jury will remember.
And she did look, as you say, she did look very different from when she arrived on Friday, when she was, you know, all made up and wearing a nice outfit. And today she looked washed out, very tired. Yep. I don't think she had any makeup on.
The jury would have been very sympathetic.
I think so.
So
we'll be very curious to see what happens in the next installment. We'll be bringing you the latest news. But for today.
Yes, for today. Thank you for listening. Please go and rate
the
podcast.
Us.
Also,
and our actors are so great that they would really appreciate it too.
Yes, and if you want to support this podcast, go to unreportedstorysociety.com. That's unreportedstorysociety.com.
And all your donations are tax deductible. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Today's podcast is produced by Unreported Story Society and Magdalena Segeda and Raquel Lerman of Theater Planners. Written and presented by Phelim McAleer and Anne McElhaney. Directed by Kif Scholl. Donna Rotunno is played by Caitlin Carlton, and Jessica Mann is played by Natalie Paulison. Edited by Mark Aramian. Engineered by Brianna Villarreal.